folks. Welcome to the East Texas News Roundup. I'm Valerie Riddell, the news director for Polk County Publishing Company. Here with Jason Klompik from Trinity County. Hey, Jason.
Hello there.
And Jacob McAdams.
I'm happy to report she got it right this time.
Yay. How are things on your side of the lake, Jake?
Well, I mean, are we not going to introduce Chris?
No. Chris is here and running the board and doing all his things. But Chris from Tyler County,
hey,
beautiful
everybody.
Downtown county.
The Easterner.
Yeah, we are Meganless because Megan is a little under the weather. So everybody send her happy healing thoughts.
Yeah, we'll see, exactly. Megan.
Yes. So what have y'all been doing?
Well, we just got through with the town lighting. Mm-hmm. Up in San Jacinto County. So that's kind of the official starting event for Christmas, I guess you could mm-hmm. say. Turn on the lights around the county. We had them in this week's paper. You'll see some of the even pictures I took of the lights around the courthouse in Cold Spring. Mm-hmm. This coming week, we are going to have three events, and all in Shepherd. And the first one's going to be Shepherd's Christmas event, mm-hmm. which theirs is pretty big. It's not, I mean, the biggest event in San Jacinto County. Of course, it's going to be next week's Christmas on the Square. But this one's still pretty big. They're going to actually move it over to the Shepherd Community Center, let me say. They're going to be doing their parade. And basically, they are going to be, you know, just having a good old time. Now, immediately after that, at the Shepherd High School, they are going to have the Blue and White Christmas. And it's a musical event. They have kids from all four campuses do mm-hmm. musical performances. The drill team, the cheerleaders, will do things. And they'll go from there. And then the Sunday after that, we are going to have the Christmas Home Tour.
Hey, that sounds good. So over here in Polk County, we still got a little while before we do Hometown Christmas here. But definitely if you are a walker, jogger, that kind of person, get your costume together and get signed up for the Jingle Bell Run, because there's only so many t-shirts and jingle bells. And if you don't get your pre-registration in, you have to run bellless. And I know, Jason, you'd be so disappointed if
you
didn't get to make a sound with every time your foot hit the ground.
Absolutely. And speaking of Christmas, Trinity has their Christmas on the Square mm-hmm. this Saturday, December 1st, mm-hmm. and Groveton has theirs next Saturday, December 8th.
So everybody knows where Groveton Square is. Where's Trinity's?
Trinity's, they're actually starting theirs by the old Red Schoolhouse, and they're going to have a parade, and it's mm-hmm. going to go around downtown Trinity as well.
Okay.
Yes, it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Yes, it is.
And Sunday, Hanukkah starts at sundown.
Hey, we'll have to give Dan a holler.
Yes, we will. Our good old buddy Dan Kleiner in Bastrop County, Texas.
Yeah, he's in Bastrop County. Yes. He's working for nonprofits now, but I think he's still shopping and strolling all down through the downtown Elgin.
Happy early Hanukkah, Dan.
Mazel tov.
So, yes. Any hard news? I have hogged all of the hard news here in Livingston.
Last Tuesday night, two guys went on a little hunting expedition, to say the least.
Yeah, they
parked out on the side of Highway 94, not too close to FM 3188, and decided to do a little deer hunting from their car. And sure enough, a Trinity County game warden caught him and booked him.
All right. Well,
I've seen some cars over there that could be used as deer blinds, I'm sure, at some point. But
hunting from the roadway, never a good idea. Hunting after dark, never a good idea.
And hunting white-tailed deer when they're not in season, not a good idea.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's frowned upon, TPD.
Yes.
So y'all only allow mule deer? Or?
I'll have to check into which deer season is appropriate for this time of year.
Because usually you can get a white-tail right now.
Yeah. That was one of the charges, though.
Okay.
I mean, the funny thing about deer hunting is, like, whenever you go and you hear the stories of people that shoot them, and it turns out, like, particular one that's not in season.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Well, it makes a difference.
Right.
So I had a bank robbery, guys.
Nice.
Yeah. We had a guy. He frequently spends the night at the Polk County Jail, like four or five times already in 2018. Monday, a week ago, he walked into the First National Bank downtown and passed a note to the teller, demanded money, said that he had a gun, although we later learned that he did not have a gun on his person. But coincidentally, the tellers inside First National Bank downtown branch stand there and pass out money about 300 feet from the door to the patrol room of Livingston Police Department. So their response time was really quick. They were all about to sit down for their Thanksgiving dinner for their spouses and stuff for the office. office, they went on a little detour to respond to the bank robbery, and he walked across 190 and shed a layer of clothes. But that's about where his plan for the bank robbery ended.
Yeah.
He decided to toddle after he had changed his physical description, although some folks at one of the home health providers in that little strip center called and gave the police a new description. And he toddled over to Subway and ordered a foot-long bacon cheddar ranch sandwich. That's their new robber sandwich special, and a dozen cookies, and started chatting with the sandwich artist that worked there and asked where to find a cab. He took a cab ride out to the reservation and went to the liquor store in Midway and decided the prices were too high there. I don't know, what's the price break point for a bank robber that he won't?
I know, right? After you've stole a few thousand dollars, I mean.
Yeah, we know he had some $100 bills. But anyway, the liquor store out to our east was too expensive. So he turned around and headed back west when people started calling his cab driver saying, "Hey, do you see some policemen behind you? Wait for them to turn on their lights and then pull over and visit with them. They don't want you. They want your passenger."
And the cab driver who was involved in all this is a familiar face when I was working in Corrigan, Pastor Kevin Brown. So props to Pastor Brown.
Yeah, and we've got a
good job, Oregon. Pastor Brown. Yeah.
Our sports editor, Brian Besh, had an interview with Pastor Brown, and Pastor Brown got in us for several "oh lords," as all of us would if we were driving around a bank robber.
Right.
Anyway, you can go to our website, polkenterprise.com, and see Pastor Brown's interview. But
since the cab driver is also a pastor, and he had a bank robber, would it be appropriate to sing the VeggieTales song, "I'm a Bank Robber and I've Come to Rob Your Bank"? Oh, probably not.
I don't know. I'm not familiar with that VeggieTales song.
Yeah, that was one of the silly songs with Larry when he was leaving a cookie out for Santa, and Archibald Asparagus, dressed as a bank robber, knocked on the door and said, "I'm a bank robber, I've come to rob your bank."
Okay, well... Mm-hmm. I did get to talk to a retired Texas Ranger today who, after he retired from DPS, he did a lot of bank investigating, and he was very tickled at the bank robbery story.
Well, I will say ours wasn't quite as exciting as it was funny. I kind of told you a little bit about it, but I'll give you just kind of my side of it. So we had a Silver Alert last week around Thanksgiving, and I'd gotten emailed about it about 5 o'clock on Thanksgiving.
Like 5 in the evening?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was 5 in the evening. It might have been earlier that day, but I mean, obviously I'm busy with Thanksgiving, so I mean, I don't.
Right.
I'm mostly unaware of it.
Right. Sometimes we don't stay on email right on top of it.
Right. So when I'm checking my email that night, you know, I was just going to take care of some stuff and see, like, oh, wow. So there's a Silver Alert and everything. And then it turns out that as I'm getting out information about all this, as I'm getting ready to tell PK there's a Silver Alert and get the press release from San Francisco County Sheriff's Office out, and it's close to about 11 at night, them getting this all taken care of and everything. And then all of a sudden I get an email from Captain Schulte saying they have been found, everything's okay, and all that. So that ended up being useless on my part, trying to get all this taken care of. But it was what it was.
We're happy that that couple is safe. And
absolutely.
And that's always refreshing when a Silver Alert, when they turn out safe, that always kind of makes my heart happy a bit.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, too, I mean, there was a little bit of concern for the couple in question. But I mean, they were traveling for Thanksgiving and everything. And they didn't show up. And like I said earlier, before we started the podcast, they basically had gotten lost. They didn't have cell phones. And they had checked in somewhere at a hotel, I believe is what Captain Schulte had told me. They eventually just went back home. They couldn't find it, found out where they were supposed to go, but they also could not contact anyone. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's another good moral of the story here. I mean, most everyone has a cell phone, but there are people who don't have them still. Right. And I will tell you that there are stories that you'll have. A lot of it's older folks who don't want to mess with new technology.
Right.
But there are some stories people tell you to get cell phones, because even if you don't play around with them like a lot of people do now, you can still, that's an easy way to contact people.
Right. And there are very affordable plans. If you are on any Medicaid, food stamps, SNAP, any of those programs, you qualify for what they call a lifesaver cell phone, so that you're not charged for it. You don't have to pay a monthly service fee. But yet, if you are driving and you need to call 911 and say, "Hey, I'm 70 and it's dark and I'm turned around," they can ping you and someone will come and find you.
And the phones that are issued with these lifesaver plans are usually very user friendly for older people who might not be able to see as well, or might not, you know, might be overwhelmed by all the different apps that many of us have. They're very simplified to the point where anybody can press a button and just press a 911 or DPS or whomever. It's just very user friendly for older folks.
I remember a story. This is actually what I was thinking of when I brought this up. Is he was stuck in his truck for like I think he'd like gone off the road or something. He couldn't get out though. I think he was stuck for like 3 days. He was one of the people that abhorred getting a cell phone.
Right.
And he's kind of like, not entirely like my dad. My dad did get the cell phone. He will actually say he understands that it's important to have one. But
this make a believer out of this guy.
But yeah, oh yeah, because he didn't want to get a cell phone. It just wasn't his thing or whatever. But then when that happened, he had no way to contact anyone or get out. Mm-hmm. And so that was what convinced him he's getting a cell phone, because if he'd had one, you know, he would have been able to get out of there.
Well, and if you have a family member who's one of those non-technology people, you can add them onto your plan, give them a phone, and just turn on location sharing and make them keep that puppy charged and with them. And that way you can find them and they don't have to worry about the rest of it. Because this week I've been feeling it with being this sandwich generation, because got my 70 something roommates and 95-year-old grandma, and we had cataract surgery this week. So I think after Monday and Tuesday, I'll take the 5 grandkids that are 5 and under way before I'll do the 70-somethings again. They don't color. They don't do anything fun. My wild grandson, Max, if he doesn't follow the verbal instructions, I can always just pick him up and put him somewhere. You can kind of contain him. Grandma, man, you look outside, it's 40 degrees, and she's outside in her nightgown on the porch, and it's a real wrestling match.
Oh, yeah.
Thank goodness the neighbors can't see.
We hope, you know, they, well, we, they might be those weirdos that like use night vision goggles to be peeping toms.
We've got one fireman that's close enough that he possibly could see, but you know, 14 acres, you can be kind of invisible.
Oh, yeah.
But, absolutely.
So you're flashing papers around, Chris. Are you having Christmas parties over there?
Well, you know, everybody's still kind of coming off of the Thanksgiving, all of that chicanery and adventures and traveling and partying and so forth. But this weekend, we are celebrating the Christmas in Tyler County, the countywide Christmas celebration. And this year, it's going to be a little different. The theme is Home for Christmas. And typically, they light up the courthouse every year for that. But this year, there were circumstances that prevented that from happening.
Well, so, like last year, we're working on the courthouse, right?
Right, so they lit the scaffold or whatever last year. This year, instead, what they're doing is they're having a candlelight celebration on this Friday night. And then the next day, they're doing all the things like the Jingle Bell 5K run and the various vendors and pancakes with Santa and all that. So it should be a lot of fun. I'm not going to be in town, but I'm going to have Jim out there to get some photos. He'll be snapping pics.
He's great about events. Making around. And so there'll be videos to watch on your Facebook page.
And so tune into the Booster Facebook page, and there's going to be videos, and we're going to have photos and whatnot.
Ophiria is going to have all kinds of good stuff to eat out at the village. The
village is doing their Twilight tour, and we spotlit that in this week's Booster. I got to be the guest columnist for the village this week because she and her people were out or whatever. So got the schedules and everything in this week's Booster. So if you get a chance to pick one up, if you're in Tyler County, please do so, or check out our Facebook page too.
Or Google the internets.
Or get on the internets and Google. There you go. When in doubt, Google that.
Well, back on the topic of bizarre news, which we've all had some bizarre news stories this week. I read online a couple of hours ago that the Big 12 Championship game, players who do the horns down signal will be penalized 15 yards for unsportsmanlike conduct. Okay, if you're going to penalize for horns down, then you better penalize for horns up as well.
Exactly. Mm.
You got to make it fair for both sides. Either
I don't know. Well, but you have to understand, horns up is an affirmative. I mean, is this a UT Texas Tech thing?
No, this is a UTOU thing.
Okay. I'm sorry the Sooners don't have a hand gesture, but horns up is not negative. Hook 'em horns is a positive thing.
Well, here's the thing, though. I mean, it's almost like there's a thumbs up and a thumbs down. I mean, it's not like we're trying to...
Well, I would say if I'm at an Aggie game and I'm... Because I'm a Longhorn, but I used to be married to an Aggie until I went into rehab. But Aggie spouse is anonymous. You know, if I'm standing at an A&M game doing thumbs down, to me, that's provocative and taunting and negative.
Derogatory, in other words.
Right. But thumbs up at an A&M game is just rooting for your team.
Well, see, I'm a Longhorns fan. I agree with Jason that if it, the horns down is going to be penalized, then make it fair for everybody.
Or just,
I mean,
hey,
I think it's grasping at straws to begin with.
Well, I'm a fourth generation Longhorn. I'm going to admit my bias. If you come in my presence and you do horns down, I reserve the right to break off your arm and feed it to the hogs.
And I've got family that went to UT as well, but I mean, somewhere you got to say fair is fair. That gives them an unfair advantage.
Why not? Huh? Why not? Well, I kind of agree with that to an extent, but I will say, why not just penalize the player, like make him sit in timeout or something? And then
I just don't, you know, I think there's a difference between rooting for your team and taunting the opponent.
Well, people have been taunting other teams for a long time, though. I mean, that's not a big
right
thing.
And if you're going to say that is unsportsmanlike conduct, I mean, level the playing field for all teams that have similar gestures that are for the opposing
but against is them. Horns down someone's gesture?
Well, it's OU's unofficial gesture.
I mean, that's been gosh for many years.
My thing is, if a guy's doing hook and horns in the face of the opposition after a touchdown, yeah, that should be 15 yards.
And there is a whole that unsportsmanlike conduct for the people on the field. I guess when my kids were in school, you couldn't yell "blood makes the grass grow, kill, kill" anymore, and that used to be a popular thing. But in today's climate, you can't say it anymore. So does that mean we don't have cheerleaders because we want to make it an even playing field? You know, it's not. You kind of got to just use your head. We can't do that anymore, though.
Well, right, I mean, because in some, depending on the team, I mean, the cheers to cheer that team on against the opposition, some of those cheers get downright ridiculous as to you know, whether or not you're talking about bashing this team or that team, whatever the mascot might be. I mean, are we going to sanitize all the cheers? I mean, how does that work?
Or pep rallies, because, I mean, like homecoming, yeah. We had one, I think we were going against, when I was in Shepherd, we were going against, I think it was a targeted Longhorns. Like, I could be wrong, though. This is way back in the Stone Age or whatever, but
you're younger than my children,
okay,
so watch
age,
it.
Ice Age. I'll go Ice Age for
okay, that's better.
More sensitive years. Okay. but no, here's the thing. So, I mean, I know the team was the Longhorns, but I can't remember if it was Tarkington
it was
or
Tarkington,
Hampshire or Finnis. But well, now they play against Hampshire Finnis. I mean, this is way back, though. I don't know which one it was, but regardless, it was a Longhorn group. And, I mean, you know, our kids went out there, and like the whole thing was like they beat up the Longhorns and they came back. They had paper mache legs of beef or whatever, mm-hmm. and like one of them took a bite out of it as a joke, you know, and everything. It's obviously meant to be for fun and whatnot. But see, I mean, I will agree there are people who do get petty out there. I won't say that the school in question, but there has been a school that I've covered that is pretty annoying when it comes, and I'm talking about like their fans. They're noticeably annoying when it comes to making taunts out, you know, during sporting events, and it does drive people nuts. It drives people on the other side nuts. You'll hear people that are fans of the other team getting irritated with them. And, you know, it's, I mean, at the end of the day, you have to accept it's a taunt. I mean, I've chastised that kind of behavior, but I'm not going to regulate it because it kind of is what it is, and it's more fun when they lose. And that sort of thing. But I mean, a gesture is a gesture. But I mean, here's the thing. It's not like they're shooting a bird or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
Well, and I mean, I think my nephew played college ball for SFA, and they played a school in Central Texas that they regularly, he got pelted with a couple of full water bottles from the stands, and that leaves a big mark. Mm. You know, that's not a deadly weapon, but when a full water bottle comes hurled at you from 100 feet away or so, you know, they had to keep, even if you were not playing, you kept your helmet on.
Okay, was that school's colors green and gold by chance?
No, further south of Austin.
Okay. Oh, for a second.
And they have the name Texas and State in their name.
Okay, okay. Well, yeah, okay, that doesn't surprise me too much. But just a little clarification. Now, for us fans in the stands, it's okay for us to do upside down horns.
Oh, okay.
Any player who does that's where I was going with that. if you're going to penalize OU players for doing this, then penalize UT players for doing this. Make it fair for both teams. Yeah.
I do agree with that. Either penalize both or don't penalize them at all.
I don't know. I mean, one thing that younger sister's a big Texans fan, and this year they've kind of seemed to have loosened the rules a little bit on touchdown celebrations. And I think some of the stuff they're doing is great. It adds something to the game.
Yeah.
But sometimes they can be a little inappropriate for small fans or something like that. But I love the celebration. Selfie poses in the end zone, but
I'll throw another one out here. This is because I was trying to think of a good example of how to look at this. What if, you know, hypothetically speaking, we have these two teams out. What if they're getting ready to make a play and then the other team goes, psst, you know, and you look up, you know, and that your opponent has got a opponent goes, takes his finger, you know, and does the whole. You know, on the neck, like, you know, you're going down. Right. You know, that's obviously a taunt. It's the same concept as doing.
Sure,
you know,
it doesn't literally
down.
Mean like he's about to pull a knife out and slash his throat.
That's his way of saying you're dead meat.
You're dead. Yeah. Exactly.
You know, but I mean, that's what all these taunts mean. You know,
but you know, this opens up a good conversation that might be for another day. I mean, obviously, you know, sportsmanlike conduct, unsportsmanlike conduct on the field with the players is one thing, but then you start looking and where this conversation went was to the culture of fans and their respective teams they follow. So it's interesting to kind of open that up and kind of debate as to what's acceptable and what's not with fans and on the field as well, whether you're talking about end zone dances going too far or gestures by fans in the stands that go a little too far.
Well, I promise you the threats from one player to another absolutely happen. And I think it's just whether whether it can be observed by the fans and all that kind of stuff, because, you know, this previously unnamed nephew was talking about, you know, we were all griping about arthritis, and he was saying that his aches and pains are the price he paid for a 5-year scholarship, but that they absolutely talk about your mother and everything else.
Well, I mean, you're telling this to the guy that had to cover a game where the coaches of the team I was covering had to tell everyone else to get inside, and nobody like wander away from the crowd, stay together because of alleged threats from the other team. I'm not going to say the teams in question on the podcast, but yeah, I mean, that was a thing. And
there's a team that Livingston has played many times over the years that their players said some horrifying things to.
It doesn't surprise me.
To our guys that they came back and were talking about it. And it, you know, they a lot often they still are trying to decompress from that on Monday, and it's sad. But
I'll leave it at this, though, because this is another thing, you know, looking at it, a bit, I guess you could say psychologically, if you want to get that deep with sports. But I mean, you know, it is what it is. But here's the thing. If I'm saying, you know, sorry, guys, but you can't do
horns down,
you know. If you do, you know, if your players do that, then you get, what is it, 15-yard penalty?
Yes, 15-yard penalty.
Okay, I'm just going to say 15 yards is ridiculous. But secondly, here's the thing. That's just going to encourage the other teams to go, and horns up and, you know, sip on that or whatever, you know, just to really rub it in. And so then it becomes very aggressive. And in a way, when you think about it, that starts to become unsportsmanlike conduct.
Well, I think you just have to kind of call it as you see it. It's kind of I think any time coming out ahead of the game and proclaiming that, hey, you're going to be, if you do this, you're going to be penalized. But, you know, and it kind of also circles back to how snowflakey are we getting our kids nowadays? It's, you know, you have some of the whole reason that we have sports in the academic environment is to kind of foster that competition and cream rises to the top, and you need conflict to get better and all of those things that people need to develop, whether they're in the business world or raising a family or whatever. Humans need some sort of resistance or tension. If we live in a weightless, conflictless environment, we don't do well health-wise even.
I agree. And I'll leave it at this. On a broad spectrum when it comes to sports, what I've never really cared for is that there's so many regulations that it becomes very political. And we had that happen here a while back with a baseball game between Liberty and Cold Spring. And Liberty had basically the pitcher for Cold Spring decided to go over and talk to, not the pitcher, sorry, the catcher. The catcher mm-hmm. for Cold Spring decided to go over and talk to the pitcher. Mm-hmm. Because you'll see them do that all the time in the game. Yeah. Usually they're trying to call a timeout or whatever, but apparently he didn't call it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but of course, when you're watching the game, you already understood what was going on, mm-hmm. but he didn't call it officially or, mm-hmm. you know, however you want to look at it. And mm-hmm. so the kid that was on the for Liberty that was on third base, he hightails it over and he makes it home. And there's cheers from Liberty. There's boos from Cold Spring because, you know, they're saying, you know, he was calling timeout. Well, apparently regulation states that if you don't actually call it, which he didn't, yeah. apparently from what I'm understanding, it's free game to do that.
Right.
And so there's this big argument about it. And the refs did decide, you know, okay, go back to third, just, you know, so obviously Liberty fans are not happy about it. But I mean, yeah. I'm sitting here thinking it's a very political thing when you think right. about it, because, you know, then they're going to go home and say, oh, we only lost because they didn't right. call that, you know, and they only won because, you know, the ref was apparently in favor of them, you know, and it's going to just be like that, you know, and that's how you hear a lot of fans get after games. It's a very political thing to watch sports.
You know, it's a shame too, because, you know, to politicize, you know, sports is ridiculous, because sports are the thing that a lot of us try to enjoy to get away from politicized situations. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Oh, speaking of sports and politics, Texas A&M went 7 overtimes with LSU, beat them 74-72, mm-hmm. and a lot of Aggie haters were blaming the referees for the loss. Well, let's examine this a little. In the closing seconds of the game, if I recall, Texas A&M had a 4th down and 18. Okay, right. They had to get 18 dadgum yards mm-hmm. to convert the first down. So you're thinking, okay, well, if you're LSU, just bring 5 defenders, drop 6 back in coverage, and pressure the quarterback to get rid of the ball quicker than he wants to.
Yeah.
But no.
Well, I mean, they're...
You have to be pretty evenly matched to have 7 overtimes.
Yeah, and they convert the first down, then they get a touchdown on the last play of the game, send the game to overtime, and then they end up winning in 7 overtimes, and apparently there were some bad calls made in favor of A&M.
Well, I mean, they're Aggies. What do they know? I mean, it takes 2 of them to screw in a light bulb. One to hold it and the other one to spin them around. So.
I can't say this about one of the best engineering schools in the country, but I have family that went to A&M as well. So.
Now, thank goodness the Enterprise Sports Editor is not in here. Mr. Master's degree from A&M. And right. you know what? I saw it. Hey. It's not even all the way colored.
Ow.
Yeah, this one. I ran into an Aggie the other day, and he was so happy. He goes, "Chris, man, I did this thing, man. I got to tell you about it." I was like, "What'd you do?" And he goes, "Well, I got this puzzle, you see, and oh man, it blew my mind. I did it, and I got it completed." And I said, "Well, what's so special about that, buddy?" He goes, "Well, it says for 3 years and under, and I did it in 2.5 years.
Yay!
So, you know, hope springs eternal, right?
Well, I knew this Aggie that once he was in college and he was held back for years because he just never could get quite where he needed to be. And so they decided, okay, well, this looks bad, so why don't we just see if he can do like a simple test and we'll graduate him. So in front of the class, they say, "All right, all you got to do is ask what is 2 plus 2? And he thought about it real long and hard. And he said, "Is it 4? And the class got an uproar and said, "Oh, come on, give him another chance."
Well, folks, for all of you out here listening, we poke some fun at our Aggie brethren, but they're good people. God bless them. So
they are.
That's right. They are.
Some of them.
I'm kidding.
Some of them we like more than others.
As soon as we leave here, I will go and have dinner with an Aggie.
I have really good friends who are Aggies.
On a different note, something I wanted to bring up that isn't related to trashing some of our teams. Or talking about on sportsmanlike conduct is something that's going on in Tyler County I want to make note of. And one of the funeral homes there, Riley Funeral Home, is doing a service next week. It's actually Tuesday at 6:00, and it's a countywide remembrance service. And the impetus behind this, according to Melissa Riley with the funeral home, is that they had tried to do things in the past, like lighting a remembrance tree for mm-hmm. those kind of have a countywide remembrance tree for anybody who wanted to participate, but she had heard where other funeral homes and hospice organizations and such were doing a similar thing. And it's open to anybody who is mourning lost loved ones or friends or people who know somebody who's deep in mourning. And we know that this time of year can be really tough for a lot of people for that very reason. So kudos to Riley's for hooking that up.
Well, good for them. So that, I mean, it can be the very hardest time when you miss somebody the most.
Oh, you better believe it.
So I have to ask you one more thing, Chris.
Sure.
And I have another question for Jason, too, after that. And then maybe we'll be wrapped up. But so posters have been popping up around Woodville.
Yes. There apparently are fascists in Woodville now. All of the
American black. Is that
American
what they're
black
called?
Shirts. And from my research, I'm keeping an ear to the ground on this. Right now, it's just these flyers everywhere, and nobody knows who's circulating them. And they've caught some eyes, though. Obviously, they're everywhere, all over Woodville now. And from my research, what I've found is this is a small fascist group that's actually, their websites indicate that they're headquartered out of San Diego, and they don't really have much of a web presence. But you know, I've got an ear to the ground on this, and it's going to be interesting to find out who are the fascists among us, and it's actual fascists promoting fascism.
Yeah, they're trying to say, oh, it's kind of the post.
It's not racist.
It's not as bad as you think. And it's
right.
Kind of like, yeah, it is.
Because,
it
you know, is. Think about it, the last well-known fascist on the world stage, he kind of killed himself in a bunker and killed his dog first. And his wife.
Well, yeah. You know, 30, 40 years after that guy, though, fascism ruled Chile for 17 years
right.
in the form of Augusto Pinochet.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of great fascist
there's
stories.
There's really not.
No.
The warm and fuzzy fascists is what they want
to
be.
That's what they want to try to mark. I mean, by these flyers that have popped up, they want to try to make themselves to.
Yeah, they're pro-labor.
But, pro-labor, you know, and not racist, but that's like, you know, our government saying, oh, the tear gas at the border wasn't as bad as regular tear gas. Now, there's no warm and fuzzy.
It alleviated a lot of congestion.
Was it organic tear gas? If it wasn't as bad as regular?
Trying to make you feel better about, you know, gassing people.
Non-GMO.
Non-GMO
tear gas, pepper spray.
Cage-free.
We're not cage free down there either.
That's true.
So, Jason, over in your neck of the woods, on your front page today, I see wet deputies. What's up with that?
Yes, not this past Monday, but the one before that, a guy apparently fell asleep at the wheel, drove off of 2262 into a creek. So three deputies had to do a water rescue. And I talked to one of the deputies today or yesterday, which is Wednesday. And I'm in the works of doing a story, and hopefully I can talk to the guy who survived it and have a little warm, fuzzy story for the Christmas edition.
Yeah, because the car is like sunk up to the side view mirrors.
Yes, and the guy had a broken left arm and a broken left leg, and apparently the bone was hanging out of his arm. One of the deputies had to cut the seatbelt out.
Yeah.
They all three had to yank him out.
And he hollered. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for putting that lovely image in my mind.
And Groveton EMS took him to Lufkin. And apparently he was a TDCJ employee, lives in Dieball, but was working at the Easton unit in Riverside. That guy drives further than I do.
Yeah, so that's a long drive, but it's certainly an understandable reason why he might be out at a unusual time of day.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that's always a challenge.
I've been there many times late at night, been on the road from, you know, long distance drives, and, you know, it's not worth it. If you start feeling tired, if you can't go any further, you start to feel yourself drift, pull off to the side of the road or into a Walmart parking lot, Lord knows they're everywhere, or find a cheap motel to bunk down in. I mean, it's not worth your life. I mean, luckily, this gentleman came out on the living side of this ordeal,
but
a lot of people haven't. My granddad always used to tell me a story about a friend of his who his son used to make the drive from Port Arthur to College Station to attend college at A&M. And they'd been up, I think they had a family reunion or something. This was years ago, but they'd been up, you know, hanging out and drinking, getting reacquainted and eating lots of food and playing games, the things you do at a family reunion. But the son insisted that, you know, he was good to drive back to start classes the next week. And he made it about halfway and slammed to a telephone pole. So just remember, folks, that if you start to feel yourself drift, if you're not safe on the roads, get yourself safe.
Yeah, pull off, get some coffee, nod off for a bit.
Absolutely. Or,
another thing I do is I have an army cot in the trunk of my car. One time I was on a road trip to New Mexico, and I stopped at a truck stop and said, "Hey, can I put my cot in the lounge and sleep for a couple of hours?" They let me do that.
Yeah. Well, I drive back and forth a lot to Dallas to visit grandkids, and, you know, pull off in the rest stops or a convenience store and tilt that seat back and sleep for a bit. It's not worth the risk.
Not at all.
Worked in a newsroom with a lady whose husband, they worked shift work at Dow, and her husband was killed coming home from the graveyard shift. And it was devastating to that family. But anyway, that all ties everything together. You're grieving at the holidays. Be nice to somebody that you know has lost somebody close to them. Sometimes it's really hard to get that tree up. They're kind of torn between doing that without their loved one for the first time, but yet, you know, they don't want to totally miss out on all the holidays. So just sit down and invite them for a cup of coffee and reminisce. You know, that's kind of a thing that a lot of us are shy about doing when somebody's got a fresh loss. It's they absolutely still want to talk about their person.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's hard to know what to say or if, you know, if you can say anything at all to somebody who's lost somebody. But if you know, have that experience,
I'm going to tell you the magic phrase from now on. If you're faced with somebody who's just lost somebody, how about, "I know you'll miss them"? The perfect words. But it's, I have a great book, "Don't Ask for the Dead Man's Golf Clubs." I know it was written by a woman who was widowed at a very young age. She still had small children, and she's dressed and has the kids dressed, and she's about to leave to go bury her husband. And his best friend comes over and says, "Can I have his golf cart?" And it's like,
tact.
Yeah,
please
give them the opportunity to talk about their special person.
Right.
Anything else we've missed in our very hectic weeks immediately before Thanksgiving and right after Thanksgiving? Be careful out there. Jingle your bells carefully. Don't drink and drive. Call somebody for a ride and have a great week. Bye, guys.
Bye, everyone.